This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 31st. Hope you are having a great Labor Day weekend holiday. The weather has been tremendous. Unfortunately, the summer has breezed by. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ibecol Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Ice Fill cooling technology along with UPF 50 Plus sun protection. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. And this is the last Talking Golf with Ann Liguori show for this season, as the station goes into their weekend football programming. And I do hope to be back next April, the Sunday before Masters Week, as we have been the last, seven seasons. And it really has been a wonderful season of shows with so many exciting storylines to talk about. I thank all of my guests who got up early to come on the show all season long. And many thanks to you out there for listening and for all your support. This morning, I will go over some of the top stories of the season. I'll share a conversation I had with two extraordinary junior players, and they happen to be teenage sisters, Amelie and Alexa Fung from Forest Hills, and longtime sports writer Hank Gola. And I will talk about some of the most memorable Ryder Cups to date. He writes about many of them in his new book, Ryder Cup Rivals, The Fiercest Battles for Golf's Holy Grail. And, you know, what a season of golf it has been. Rory McIlroy finally won his Masters title after an 11-year championship title drought, becoming only the sixth player in history to complete the career Grand Slam. He overcame a lot of scar tissue. Just an intensely dramatic roller coaster of a final round to finally beat Justin Rose on the first hole of a playoff. It was a storybook ending that captivated both regular golf fans and new golf fans alike. Surely an adventure unlike any other. After winning his lifetime dream, the Masters title, and capturing the career Grand Slam, he did deal with motivation issues, but seemed to get his head back together in time for the Open Championship in his home country of Northern Ireland, Royal Portrush, where he finished tied for seventh, seven shots behind Scottie Scheffler. And of course, Scottie Scheffler's stellar play, just dominating the headlines on the PGA Tour. And even though he did not win the Tour Championship last Sunday, I am thrilled for Tommy Fleetwood, who came through and won the Tour Championship, his very first PGA Tour title in 164 starts. But Scottie did finish tied for fourth which was his 14th straight top eight finish this year, which apparently I read is the longest streak since Ben Hogan accomplished that feat in the 1950s. Scottie Scheffler also shot 21 straight rounds in the 60s, unbelievable, tying the longest streak in PGA Tour history. And, you know, he started the year slowly, recuperating from that hand injury. But then after he won the CJ Cup, he captured the PGA Championship in May. He won the Memorial in June. He captured the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in July and the BMW Championship in August. And, you know, when you look at his statistics, I mean, he leads the PGA Tour in so many categories, from strokes gained, tee to green, off the tee, approach shots. He's at the top in scrambling, in scoring average, in birdie average, and bounce back percentage. And all this in 2025, after an incredible 2024 with eight wins, the Masters title, and the Olympic gold medal. And, you know, beyond his on-course performances and statistics, he's just an exemplary human being and a really positive role model. And as Dan Rappaport said on Talking Golf a few weeks back, as much as Tiger Woods inspired golfers to get into the gym, he thinks Scottie Scheffler has inspired golfers to get into church. Scottie has displayed such a solid life-work balance and seems to be able to put his golf career and everything else in perspective. And as much as Scheffler has that winning competitive instinct, winning golf tournaments and championships is really not the most important thing in his life. And other players are looking at his life on and off the golf course and want to be like him. And so certainly the sky's the limit for Scottie Scheffler. And I'm sure he can keep this going for a long, long time. And it will be just fascinating to see just how long he can keep his stellar play up. JJ Spahn winning the U.S. Open on arguably the toughest U.S. Open course ever, Oakmont Country Club outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where many a player moaned and groaned about the difficulty of the course. That was another compelling story this season. It was only his second U.S. Open start. He birdied four of the last seven holes, including that 60-foot or 64-footer for birdie on the final hole to close it out. Tommy Fleetwood, as I mentioned, finally winning his first PGA Tour title. That was such a great story, the Tour Championship. And by doing so, he won the entire FedEx Cup title. I am happy for Tommy, but the FedEx Cup title, which really is supposed to reward the best player of the season, obviously should have gone to Scottie Scheffler. So they're going to have to figure out that playoff and that FedEx Cup title run a little better in the future. And, of course, another story that dominated the headlines was who U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley would name as his six captain's picks. He had most people believing, including me, that he was going to pick himself, certainly after he won the Travelers Championship at the end of June. He said as much. Keegan was ranked number 11 on the Ryder Cup point standings list, but when it came down to the final 48 hours after the Tour Championship and before this past Wednesday's announcement, he decided that several of the guys in question had played so well coming down the stretch that he could not leave them off the team and that it would have been selfish to pick himself. He also realized, I think, how much work, time, commitment, and attention it requires to be a captain of a U.S. Ryder Cup team. He said he's relieved by the decision that he made not to pick himself. And you really, if you think about it, I mean, do you know how much scrutiny, how much second guessing, how much commotion it would have caused if Keegan didn't indeed play and not win? I mean, obviously, that's an intangible and champions don't picture themselves not winning. But playing would have put, I think, insurmountable pressure on him. And there is enough pressure on Keegan to just make the right decisions as captain regarding team pairings, regarding the order of play, who to sit, who not to sit, and so much more. So the six captains' picks, joining the six who already qualified, the guys who qualified on points are Scottie Scheffler, J.J. Spahn, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau. They will join Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Patrick Cantlay, Cameron Young, and Sam Burns. And I'm going to go through each of those six captains' picks real quick. JT, Justin Thomas, will be making his fourth Ryder Cup appearance with a record of 7-4-2 and undefeated in singles, 3-0-0. He won his 16th PGA Tour title at the RBC Heritage this past April and had three runner-up finishes this season. JT certainly deserves a spot on this team. Colin Morikawa will be playing on his third Ryder Cup team and has compiled a 4-3-1 record. He did not have the greatest season, and he is my only question mark in terms of, I probably would have picked maybe Brian Harman or Maverick McNealy, who had better seasons than Morikawa, but I'm sure that Keegan looked at Morikawa's Ryder Cup experience and, of course, his iron play is statistically very high in deciding to pick Morikawa for Bethpage Black. Ben Griffin certainly deserves to be on this team, so I'm delighted he was picked. He won the Zurich Classic at New Orleans and the Charles Schwab Challenge and finished in the top 10 of 10 tournaments, including a runner-up finish at the Memorial. And to think that he worked as a mortgage loan officer in North Carolina in 2021 when he stepped away from golf and the Korn Ferry Tour due to financial struggles. I mean, these fairy tale endings are truly inspiring and compelling. And I'm thrilled that Cameron Young made the Ryder Cup team. He earned his first PGA Tour title by six shots at the Wyndham Championship in early August. He was born in Scarborough, New York, grew up playing Sleepy Hollow, where his father was head of golf there. And as a teenager, Cameron Young became the first amateur to win the Met PGA New York State Open. So he definitely will be an asset to the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And I'm glad Patrick Cantlay made the team, although it was due to his play down the stretch. He compiled a 5-2-1 career Ryder Cup record in his previous two Ryder Cups with a 2-0-0 record in singles. Cantlay definitely brings experience to a team that includes four rookies. The four rookies on this U.S. Ryder Cup team, J.J. Spahn, Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, Cameron Young, and Patrick Cantlay also had 10 top 15 finishes and tied for second at the Tour Championship. So he really played well down the stretch. And I don't think we'll see Hatgate, that controversy this time around that he initiated in 2023 at the Ryder Cup at Marco Simone. Like it or not, by the way, the American players are getting paid this time around. Money's going to them individually and to their charities. Each player is going to get $500,000, $200,000 stipend to each player, and $300,000 charitable donation to each player. So I know they've been whining about making money for the last couple Ryder Cups. And Sam Burns, the sixth captain pick, finished strong as well. He had a T4 at the BMW Championship, a T7 at the season finale Tour Championship. He is also tops this season in strokes gained putting and putting inside 10 feet. And, of course, best friends with Scottie Scheffler. Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka just did not play well all season, so they weren't even mentioned on this Ryder Cup team. Brian Harman was 12th on the Ryder Cup points list. He's not a long ball hitter off the tee, and that probably had something to do with Captain Bradley not picking him. Wyndham Clark has not been sharp this season. But Maverick McNealy was number 10 in the Ryder Cup standings, and I think he could have been there instead of Morikawa. The European Ryder Cup team will be finalized tomorrow. European Captain Luke Donald will announce his six captains' picks tomorrow. The guys who automatically qualified for the European Ryder Cup team: Rory McIlroy, Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Rasmus Højgaard, and Tyrell Hatton. Numbers 7 through 12 are Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Matt Wallace. Now, John Rahm sits at number 24, so I can see Rahm coming in as a captain's pick, perhaps replacing Matt Wallace. We'll have to see what Luke Donald will do tomorrow. In other news of the season, both the LPGA and the PGA Tours named new heads of the organization. Craig Kesler was named the LPGA Tour's 10th commissioner. Time will tell how this former COO of the PGA of America and his team will impact women's professional golf. There have been 10 first-time winners on the LPGA Tour this season. Nelly Korda's dominant run as the top female golfer in the world came to an end after the AIG Women's Open Championship. She spent 71 straight weeks as the number one ranked player in the world. Gina Thitakul from Thailand took over the top spot for the second time in her career. And after winning 7 titles last season, Nelly has 5 top tens leading into this weekend's FM Championship this season, but so far, no titles for Nelly Korda this season. And a new CEO of the PGA Tour, Brian Rolapp, promises aggressive changes. He appointed Tiger Woods as the head of a new future competitions committee, which will re-examine the tour business model. Stay tuned for major changes on the PGA Tour in the future. Coming up, I'll share my conversation with Amelie and Alexa Fung of Forest Hills, New York, teenage sisters who excel on and off the course. But first, let me tell you about iBeCool luxury athleisure wear for both men and women, offering the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code ANN20, ANN20, for 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkul.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh!
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on the Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, and my next guests are two of the most extraordinary sisters in golf. Extraordinary sisters with mega accomplishments on and off the golf course. So impressive are these girls that I wanted to introduce them to you now, because you will be hearing about both of them more and more in the future, and you probably have already heard of them. Amelie Fong is 17 years old. Her younger sister, Alexa, is 14. They both grew up in Forest Hills, New York, and they go to school and train in Boca Raton, Florida, during the school year. And Amelie will be attending Rice University this fall and will be playing golf for them. And she is a National Merit Scholarship finalist. She won an LPGA scholarship, Palm Beach County Girls Golf First Team, Rolex Scholarship, Junior All-American. She is an ambassador with the Annika Foundation. Again, I could go on and on about Amelie. Alexa, 14 years old. I remember watching Alexa compete in the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals at Augusta National. She won the girls 12 to 13 division this year, and in 2023, won the girls 10 to 11 category. She's a four-time finalist. Alexa holds about, seven records in golf in the state of Florida for her age. Again, I could go on and on and on, but let's go right to the girls. Welcome to Talking Golf, Amelie and Alexa. Glad you can be on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting us. It's an honor to be on here with you, Anne.
Oh, thank you so much. Take us back to the beginning, Amelie. When did you girls start playing golf, and who did you learn from?
Well, I started golf at a pitch and putt area just in Flushing, Queens. My dad taught me. He wanted to get me started in a sport, and he really enjoyed golf growing up, so he learned a little later in life than I did, but he felt like there were a lot of lessons to be learned through this sport. So he wanted to kind of take his kids through it. And so he started me there, and I kind of just, the passion kind of grew as I got older. He put me in tournaments, and it just kept going on and on. And then Alexa came on, and when she came, it just became us together, always together, practicing, playing tournaments together. And that definitely made the golf experiences more special.
So how old were you, Amelie, when you started?
I started when I was 7.
And how old was Alexa?
I started when around 5-6 years old.
And did your dad teach you as well in the early going?
Yes, between my dad and my sister.
Oh, I love it. All right. So then when did you connect with other coaches to further learn the sport?
I'd say about a year or two in. I feel like one thing that my dad was great about is he was very self-aware. He knew he was a good golfer. Like, he got close to scratch in his prime, but he knew that he didn't know the technicals as well as a coach did. So he wanted to make sure that we were learning along the right path. So I'd say about a year or two in, he connected me with a great coach in Sleepy Hollow, Kevin Sprecher. And then from there, we bounced around to different coaches. I mean, Kevin was a great coach, but he was a little far out. And then we worked sometimes with some people at Ledbetter, and it's just kind of moved around.
So you've had a lot of influences as far as coaching goes.
Definitely. They're all very helpful in their own way. And I feel like they have specialties that we definitely take in our games that we wouldn't be able to learn from just one coach.
Correct. And did Alexa do the same thing, learn from a variety of coaches in the Met section?
Yes, that's right. I pretty much just followed Amelie wherever she went. And it was honestly, I felt like it was a great learning experience working with different coaches, because, I mean, everyone has their own view on golf, on the sport, this crazy sport that involves so many different factors. And I felt like it was great for both Amelie and I.
Yeah, you don't want too much information up there, right? Because you want your natural talent to take over. You don't want to think too much. So I guess it's great to get the fundamentals from a variety of coaches. And then what do you do? Kind of weed out some of the information that may not apply to your own swing? Or did you basically use everything you learned from all these different coaches?
I definitely think it's hard to keep track of everything we learned from each lesson. I know we both try to write it down, you know, keep it in the back of our mind. But it always comes down to fundamentals with me, at least, probably similar to Alexa. You know, tempo, alignment, just keeping those things intact and just remembering the different inputs that different coaches kind of recommended for each one as a guideline.
And you're both really great students. So I assume that being, very good students, you were able to pick up these fundamentals and remember them, and you love to learn. And so, as you say, the fundamentals are so important. I always advise young people to take lessons and learn the correct swing so that you can practice correctly, right?
Definitely, definitely.
So, did you both play other sports when you were growing up? Well, you're still growing up. I like this. I'm always a young woman now, but I keep forgetting how young you are. Alexa, you're 14. So did you play other sports, Alexa?
Personally, if you will count it as a sport, both Amma and I, we both played competitive chess. And so I would say from the ripe age, around the time that I started golf, between the age of like 4 to 5 is when I picked up competitive chess. And just like with golf, I kind of came along to these chess tournaments and it was just a really fun experience. And I feel like competitive chess, it requires you to sit at a table in front of your opponents and you're just going at it for sometimes up to 2 to 4 hours. And so I felt like that really mentally trained me for golf tournaments and for just being under pressure.
What incredible training for golf. It's such a mental sport, golf and chess. I want you to talk a little bit about that. First of all, who exposed you to chess?
Our father did.
Definitely our father.
Yeah.
Oh, so he plays.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. And I know you both have won tournaments in chess, right?
Yes, we have.
Tell me, you can brag about yourself. Tell me how far you've gotten along in the world of chess.
Sure. So, personally, I've won the US chess team a silver medal in Mexico. And I also, I believe it was for the girls' eights. I won a national championship in Chicago. And I've also been a part of the FAU High and starting up the FAU High School team chess team. And we also brought home a trophy, I believe in 2021. And so, overall, and I mean, all over New York, we traveled to many different high schools. And I've traveled, obviously, with my sister because she would be a part of these tournaments too in different age categories. And so, overall, it was really fun. And I felt like we kind of knew that at one point we would have to choose between chess and golf. And ultimately, we decided golf.
As Alexa mentioned, there's a lot of focus required for both sports. With chess, you're sitting down, you're idle, so it doesn't seem like it would be similar to golf where you're constantly walking, but you're always in your mind with both sports. I mean, in golf, you're maybe hitting the ball for a couple minutes out of the entire round, but then you're walking, you're thinking about your next shot, you're in your own mind about what's to come, about what happened in the past. In a similar way with chess, you have to kind of brush off mistakes and don't let anything show in your face so that your opponent doesn't know. I just remember that it was definitely huge if you could maintain your focus, if you cannot let what your opponent was doing or don't let it get in your head and just always be one step ahead. Like being proactive, that's huge for golf and chess, knowing how to think ahead and plan for the next day, prepare for the next tournament, hole location, stuff like that.
Do you agree with all that, Alexa? The training that chess provides for the mental aspect of golf?
100%, definitely. I would say, I mean, every night after like tournaments, I'd always go over my holes. I'd tell Amelie, "Oh, I did horribly on this hole," or "Oh man, this birdie was great." And then I feel like also in chess, like we would go over our rounds, and Amelie would point out, "Oh, you had a huge blunder here, Amelie, Alexa." And so it was really fun. And I feel like it was just overall the two sports, I like to call them, they're very similar mentally.
I'm sure. Well, what great training. And the fact that you both excel in both is just extraordinary. Now, I know you both played in the New York State 18 and under championship, and Amelie beat her younger sister, Alexa, in the final round on the first playoff hole. Talk about that, Amelie. Was it difficult to beat your sis, your younger sis?
I would definitely say she was putting up a great fight. So we played 36 holes the second round, and we were together. Me and the third player was a friend of mine, so it was a very comfortable round. My brother was caddying Alexa, and I had another caddy from the club. So I was getting, we were both playing very well. She had a bogey-free 9 under between the two rounds, and I think I stayed steady. I was 6 under. And I don't know, it just kind of worked out in my favor, I guess, in the playoff hole. We both ended up in the left bunker. And it's funny, when I played, so we replayed hole 18, and just the hole before we played 18 coming in, and I got in the same bunker and I bogeyed and she parred. So I messed up from the bunker in the hole before. So when we replayed it, I got back in the same bunker and I kind of wanted to avenge myself a little bit. So I got it pretty close, I'd say within 2, 3 feet, and was able to tap it in. And it just kind of went from there. But it was really special to experience that with her. It's, being a sister pair that was able to both show up and just play some good rounds together was really special. So it was really, really like coincidental that we would get in a playoff together, that we would be able to play this round together. And I practice with her all the time, so it's like I know how she plays, I know how clutch she is, I know how good she is. So it was even more fun to be able to experience her in tournament play when she's like a different person, because she's so focused during tournaments. It was funny, it was like a different person next to me.
Alexa, how has your sister helped you develop your game?
I mean, she's just over the years, she's definitely coached me. She's gone through it for the first time. She was the first one in this junior golf, in this crazy world of junior golf. And I mean, I feel like she's really helped me grow as a person and also on a golf course by like telling me, oh, like don't get in your head too much, because I mean, every person on a golf course, they know when they have a bad hole, it can get in your head and everything. And in this past tournament, it was definitely, I used some of her coaching where it was a very tight last 18 holes, and it was really anyone's tournament. And so I really tried to stay focused and try to keep the pressure somewhere else in the back of my head with her coaching advice last night, where she said, it's not really, it's not, this tournament is not, like something, it's there's very little pressure because it's not a tournament where you're supposed to win, and you're just going out there to have fun and really just take in this experience playing with other such great players.
And you just won this tournament literally minutes before we're recording this interview, an AJGA Junior Open in Delaware for ages 12 to 18, and you're only 14, so you beat girls a lot older than you.
Right, but yeah, it was a great tournament, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
Congratulations to both of you. I'm just so impressed with your success again on and off the course. But what else has golf taught you, Amelie?
I would say golf has taught me that, life is unfair, that you're going to get some unlucky bounces and you just have to learn how to process them. You can only really control yourself out there. And I think that that's definitely something that's been really helpful for non-golf. When you go in and you got teammates or people you're working with in a group project, and it just seems like the world's against you. And it's nothing personal, that's just how life is. But learning how to just, okay, well, if I can be my best self, I can step up, I can make sure that we all rise above.
That is such a great answer. How about you, Alexa? What has golf taught you at your young age?
I would say golf has taught me patience. For example, like just a few hours ago when I was on a golf course, I did not have the strongest start, or I'm sorry, my other competitors in my group, they had a very strong start. And right off the bat, I was under. And so I had to just wait it out and play the long game. And I mean, that's how kind of golf is. When you try and force a birdie or an eagle, very rarely do they actually happen. And so I feel like golf has really taught me that You just have to wait and let it happen on its own, and you can't try and force anything and be too impatient.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on the Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning and the final Talkin' Golf show of the season. And, you know, with the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black just a few weeks away, my attention continues to focus on this mega international competition. And we bring in Hank Gola, author of Ryder Cup Rivals, The Fiercest Battles for Golf's Holy Grail, to share some historical perspective. Hey, Hank, welcome to Talking Golf.
Oh, thank you, Ann. Always good to get up this early in the morning. I only do this to make tea times and for you.
And I believe that. And Hank is also the fearless leader of our Met Golf Writers Association. He's our president and a former sports writer, as you know, for both the New York Post and the Daily News, although not at the same time.
Never. No, that could never happen.
All right. Well, before we talk about your book, Hank, you know, and Ryder Cup history, let's talk about Keegan Bradley's six captains picks last Wednesday. Just the fact that he did not pick himself as one of the six. I mean, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, because he was laying the groundwork, it seemed. He got Luke to agree to have the vice captains talk to the players, and it just seemed like he was getting ready to pick himself. And look, the guy is definitely one of the 12 best American players right now, and he's coming off a pretty good FedEx Cup. So it did surprise me a little bit, but then again, Keegan's been full of surprises before.
He certainly is. And, you know, I think it was a wise choice. Although early in the going, I thought he would pick himself. And then as I really started thinking about it after the tour championship, it hit me that, you know, obviously he can fully focus on being the Ryder Cup captain. And as you know, going through the history of these Ryder Cups, it is just such an all-encompassing job. And it would have added so much intense pressure and scrutiny, I think. What if he lost a match, man? He'd never hear the end of it, right?
Yeah, true. I was thinking the way he would have done it was to play himself only once a day, basically one session on the first 2 days, and then, of course, in the singles. But play himself early, maybe in the first one or two matches, and then get out there and do his captain stuff. And the same thing on Sunday in the singles. But again, that's putting himself right in half the day, especially on the singles. I don't think it would have been as much of a problem on the first 2 days as it would have been on singles day, especially if, you know, everything comes down to that final day. So, yeah, in retrospect, I think he made the right call. But again, I'm a little surprised. It just seemed like he was headed in that direction.
Yeah, it was, really. But then I think these guys kind of stepped up, you know, especially toward the end of the season. You know, Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay, and obviously Ben Griffin had a great season.
Yeah, Cam Young finished strong too.
I was surprised about Colin Morikawa, although he does have so much Ryder Cup experience. I just don't think, you know, there were just so many other candidates who played better than Morikawa.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's the one guy I would have taken, if Keegan had put himself on, that's the one guy you could see coming off the roster.
But, you know, looking back at the Ryder Cups, you know, that you have covered, and I know I've covered every Ryder Cup, I can't believe this, since, what, 1999. And so I want to talk about that for a second. You know, that battle at Brookline was just very, very special for many, many reasons. And from a media perspective, they didn't have one of those huge media tents. I remember being in a room at the country club of Brookline. You know, it was a lot smaller. The Ryder Cup wasn't as huge back then. And what are your memories of that one?
Yeah, well, of 99?
Yeah.
My memory was was kneeling inside the ropes directly on line with Justin Leonard's putt.
Oh, my goodness.
And next to me was Tom Lehman's wife. And as soon as that putt fell, she came charging onto the green like Usain Bolt out of the blocks. I mean, she was really out of it. And I It's my theory that she started the whole stampede and ended up trampling over Jose Maria's line. But I have a vivid memory of that. And of course, Crenshaw and his wagging finger. The interesting thing about that Ryder Cup is, Mark James and all of the UK, all of Europe, was highly critical of the US fan behavior and even the US player behavior on the 17th green. It was tough. It's Boston fans, right? And I mean, they were all over Monty in particular. He had a rough time there,
I remember
and Payne
that.
Stewart actually had to step in and calm down the crowd. But it was always my contention that what he should have done with his team is taken him to Fenway Park and put him in the bleachers while the Yankees were in town, and say, "This is what you're going to have in store for you.
Good
This is."
point.
These aren't the staid Augusta patrons who are going to be clapping everything, applauding everything you do. This is a different deal. So I thought that. And again, also that particular Ryder Cup, he didn't play his three rookies the entire time until singles day, and then he stacked them up like dominoes on Sunday. He had them three, four, five, and ended up putting them up against Phil Mickelson, Davis Love, and Tiger Woods. And after Lehman and Hal Sutton won those first two matches, there was a five match sweep. And Ann, how momentum goes there. Once you see one color going up on the board time and time again, it affects the rest of the matches because it puts a lot of pressure on the team that's losing these matches, and it just picks up the team that's winning them. So I blame Mark James a lot for that loss, and of course I was happy to see Ben, and he's so into the mysticism and the
Sure.
sacredness of golf. He afterwards he was certain that there were fate was at play, and Francis we met was up there helping him.
Yeah, he's all about fate. In fact, I wrote about that in my book, Life on the Green. But I'll never forget, that speech. I'm going to leave you all with one thought as he
Yeah.
pointed his finger at everybody. I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you. How dramatic,
Yeah,
right?
it's exactly you actually quoted him verbatim. That's very good. And but again, I think at that point he had seen the US the European lineup, and I think he took that back to his team room and said, "Look what we could do here, guys. This is possible. We could sweep these first five, and let's go off and running from there."
Well, I was in the media room watching it on the monitor because doing updates on WFAN every 20 minutes, I can't be on the golf course. I have to watch the whole thing. But
Right.
man, you had the front row seat right on that 17th green when Justin Leonard drained that 45 footer for birdie. And I just remember the media room just erupting in pandemonium, and I could hear the
Yeah.
roars from outside. So that
Well,
was
Ann, if you've been in those media rooms along with me, and they're split in half. You've got the European press on one side and the American press on the other side. And the European press is much more enthusiastic about their team than we are. We are trained no cheering in the press box. That goes back to Red Smith and beyond him. But the Euros have no problem. Once every time a blue dot goes up there, the entire side of the Euros erupts, and they love their team. I think half the American press is rooting against the Americans sometimes.
Yeah, that's well, that's another story. But and then another most memorable Ryder Cup for me, and it wasn't perhaps because of the play, but the 2014 Ryder Cup at Gleneagles in Scotland, when Phil
Yeah.
Mickelson threw U.S. Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson under the bus. I'll never forget that. And it was your question that started that whole
That's
thing.
right. It was my question. I feel like I'm a small part of Ryder Cup history. They were getting their rear ends handed to them every time we went over there. And it was like the same scene. Euros are celebrating, champagne everywhere. Everybody's dancing, ole, ole, ole. And the American team has to come trudging into the interview room and sit on a big stage side by side. It almost looks like the Last Supper. And my question was, anyone who was at Valhalla in 2008, what went right then and what's gone wrong since? And Phil, I think he was just waiting for something like that, and he pounced on it. And Tom Watson just sitting there staring straight ahead as if he's like lining up a putt or something. His eyes didn't move, and he listened to it all. And of course, that led to the formation of the task force and a change in how they picked the team and other things around the team as well.
I was squirming listening to Phil. And, back then, yeah, you had the European team that had won in the same room, as you say, it looked like the Last Supper. But I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then I'm looking at Tom Watson, and I have to tell you, I was impressed. He pretty much maintained his composure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real life moments. Maurices.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For sure.
Oh, he did.
Well, everybody else was squirming.
Oh, yeah. And if you remember, well, with me, when you ask Phil a question, he locks eyes with the questioner. And he looks you through, and he's answering your question. Well, I wanted to look at the rest of the team and see what their reaction was. But, I had to look straight at Phil as he's answering my question. So I had to go back and look at the videotape for that one. But they also came back to Furyk. Remember one of the British guys, British
That's
writers
right.
said, Jim, what do you think? He didn't know what to say.
He just took
he said,
himself out of it.
Or something like that.
Well, then let's talk about the meltdown in Medina, 2012. Europeans rallied from 4 points down in the singles. You know what I remember about that? A lot about that. But Rory McIlroy barely made his tee time. Remember that?
Of course I do, yeah.
he overslept.
He was playing in the second match of the day against Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, he overslept. He got the time zone wrong
because
it was central
time.
And he needed a police escort. He needed a police escort to get there on time. And it was arranged by his then girlfriend, now his wife, who organized that whole thing.
Yeah, well, what happened was the chief of police of whatever city it was out there where the European team was staying happened to be at the in the lobby for some reason, not for just for any reason, just stop by or something to see how things were going when this whole thing was unfolded. And they were trying to figure out, well, how is he going to get there? It is traffic and all of this, and you're going to need some sort of police escort to get him there on time. And it was luck that this guy was there, and they were able to put him in a squad car and get him to the golf course. I think 5 minutes later, if they had gotten two holes into the match, he would have had to forfeit the match. And they got there. The first match was already getting off, so Rory had no time to do anything else but put on his shoes and go out there and hit driver off the first tee. And he ended up beating Keegan. And of course, Keegan had a great Ryder Cup that year, teamed with Phil. You remember they were just blowing through matches and getting the crowd hepped up and each other hepped up. I think it was Amy said, that they were getting jealous of their relationship.
The
It was
bro, the
really a
bro love, the
bromance. And
bromance.
then Davis Love, the captain, did not play them in the final session. And Phil was claiming that they were mentally exhausted and they couldn't go on. And I'm thinking, mentally exhausted? They didn't play a match past the 14th hole, and they're playing alternate shot. I mean, they're taking half their shots in two of those matches. So I remember when I was covering the PGA at Kiowa that year. I was walking along with Mark Bradley, and we were following Keegan around. We were just talking, and he said to me, "You know who Keegan would really love to play with at the Ryder Cup?" And I said, "Well, who's that?" He said, "Well, Tiger. He'd love to get Tiger juiced up because the Americans always had a problem finding the right partner for Tiger. Tiger did fine in the singles, but not so much with a partner. And Keegan thought that he could really get Tiger going. And of course, Tiger did not have a good Ryder Cup that year with Steve Stricker. And I was thinking, well, look, if Phil's so mentally exhausted that he can't get through another match, why don't you just take Keegan and sit Steve Stricker and let Keegan and Tiger go? And who knows what happens? Maybe he does get them juiced. And that, in hindsight, might have stopped all that momentum that the Euros got in that last session, Ian Poulter playing the hero, and prevented what ended up happening on Sunday.
You mentioned Phil Mickelson, and I'd love for you to talk about the impact of LIV on the Ryder Cup regarding Phil.
Well, Phil was, I mean, he would have been the captain in 2024. It would have been Phil and Henrik Stenson, both of whom ended up in LIV. And of course, there would have been great significance to that because of their duel at the Open Championship a few years ago. As much as it's exciting to have Keegan, it would have been so good to have Phil. Phil has. No other golfer has captured New Yorkers like Phil. I mean, Phil may be a goofy guy from California, but for some reason, New Yorkers have always taken to him. He's
Sure, I mean, he
always
got
around
labeled the
here.
people's champion.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like that was set in stone. That was so obvious, a no-brainer that Phil would be the captain at Bethpage. He even mentioned it, in the years before LIV, that how he'd love to do that. And man, that would have been great. It's too bad. I mean, what has happened, but I think it took a lot of took out a lot of a lot out of this Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You think if LIV didn't happen, Phil Mickelson would have been the captain of this 2025
Oh,
US Ryder Cup
absolutely.
team.
Not even a question. And of course, and Stenson had already been named the captain for 2025. And that
2023,
happened.
2023, I think. Denson.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. He would have been. Yeah, he was capped in 2023 and ended
Right, right.
up
Well,
for
finally, Hank, because we're running out of time. I can't believe how fast this went.
Yeah.
Talk about what you think the historical significance of this upcoming Ryder Cup of Bethpage will be.
Well, it's going to be on the grandest scale stage ever in a Ryder Cup. Most Ryder Cups aren't played. Aren't this The golf course usually isn't the story at Ryder Cups. It's the competition. In fact, if you look at where these Ryder Cups have played, they're usually not played at great golf courses, with the exception of the Country Club in Boston and Medina, and then Royal Birkdale over there. And they're just kind of mundane. There's nothing about Bethpage that's mundane. It's a grand scale. It's going to be filled with people, and it's a big, big golf course that's going to put a premium on driving, which is unusual also for a Ryder Cup. And it's a biggie. It's played in America, in one of the world's biggest cities, America's biggest city. And I think it's going to be loud and boisterous and whatever else we expect. The only problem is, at $750 a ticket, I don't know how many strap hangers are going to be getting through the gates.
But they will have passion and they're very knowledgeable. A lot of people don't give New Yorkers credit. Everybody says, oh, they're loud and rude. And they are very knowledgeable sports fans and golf fans for sure.
Yeah, for certain, for certain. And you know what? It's comparable to Boston fans, right? And we saw what happened at the country club, and I think this is going to turn the meter even higher.
Well, the book is called Ryder Cup Rivals: The Fiercest Battles for Golf's Holy Grail. I love what Gary Van Sickle, former SI golf writer, wrote on the cover. If you don't get goosebumps reading this book, check your pulse. You may be dead.
Thank you, Gary.
Anyway,
Appreciate
Hank,
that.
thank you so much. For all of us, appreciating the rich history of the Ryder Cup will definitely, get us all even more excited for the upcoming Ryder Cup of Bethpage. My thanks to Hank Gola, to Amelie Fung and Alexa Fung, and to Brian Rescona in the studio. Well, that's the season, folks. It has been a great season of Talking Golf with guests including Ernie Els, Gary Player, Hal Sutton, Rafael Campos, Joe Highsmith, Michelle Wee, Don Ray, Andy Bassett, and Nathan Groob from Travelers, Joe Theismann, David Cohn, Dan Rappaport, Mega Gane, and legendary Rush guitarist Alex Lifeson, to name a few of my guests this season, with shows about golfing in Ireland and from the majors, including the Masters, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, covering the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, the PGA Tour's champions, and amateur golf. And I also would love to thank all the producers who worked on this show this season: Brian, Ed Arzuman, Rami Levy. And my thanks to David Majornik, Lou DiPietro, Tommy Izzo, Ryan Hurley, and Chris Oliviero. Keep in touch, everybody. Follow me on social media. Enjoy football season. And thanks so much for your support and for listening to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
rooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.